meow 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 meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow
meow meow
meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow
meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow meow you know, the next day, another liberty issue or whatever will come up, and self-ownership has been thrown out the window.
Yeah, I've gotten in this trap on Facebook from time to time where I'll post something and it'll turn into like a long thread of like 60 comments, and someone will ask me a question that like I'm like, do I want to write like 10 paragraphs explaining this? And I never do. And so the catchphrase that I've adopted is, to make a long answer short, I'm bored with this topic.
Well, that's
my answer is usually, I have 499 Freedom Fiends episodes that you can go listen to. I'm not going to sit here and type this out for you. And today is the 499th Freedom Fiends episode, by the way.
Woo!
Yeah.
Hey, but wouldn't it be great, though, if there were some encyclopedia or some, like, Wikipedia or some sort of way that we could answer questions quickly and easily that are, like, commonly asked questions? Like,
well, an FAQ? It used to be, I used to send people to Stefan Molyneux videos before he went crazy, you know, before he became... first of all, before he started making videos that were nothing but link bait and were, you know, just like pushing his weird kind of like Scientology.
So that was partially your fault because you pushed so many listeners towards him.
Yeah. And he got so popular that he did the Molyneux effect, which is after you get a certain number of listeners, you just go nuts. and believe no, it's because you Ian has spoken to this well. He said that's why Free Talk Live will always be a multi-host show, because when there's one host, they just start to like kind of think that they're a god and have the answer to everything. You know, Rush Limbaugh does it. Stefan Molyneux does it.
Well, it seems that way when no one else can point out when you're wrong.
Yeah. And I think the fact that Mark is constantly saying, Ian, you're an idiot. I mean, I think that helps keep everyone honest on there in a way, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Not that he ever convinces Ian he's an idiot, or Ian the same thing when he says to Mark, who is this we of which you speak when you say we have done this, you know? Yeah.
You know, I've written enough articles at this point in my life that in most topics, I can link someone to a very sort of well thought out, sort of extensive view of at least my opinion on the subject.
But they won't read them. They won't read them.
That was where I was going.
Here's what happened. Here's the proof of that I ran into yesterday, and it kind of got me to the point of like being really receptive to this Doug Stanhope thing of we had the show on Saturday that Ben and I did was called Why Do So Many Atheists Need to Worship a Quote Great Man, unquote. It was kind of a link baity title, but it was also that was addressed in there, but it wasn't really about atheists. And all these atheists on Facebook assumed we were Christians and started yelling at us without like even clicking on the link.
Can we call this episode 499 episodes of link bait?
It's not accurate, but since link bait never is, I think we could. I think we should call it Why We're Giving Up Talking About Liberty. I think that would be more link baity. I think that would make people go, oh no.
No, but don't
the thing
stop.
Is, I don't want to, but the thing is, I don't want to give up radio at all. I just kind of want to do the radio. We said this before in the Fiends, but I just kind of want to do the radio that would exist if the government was already out of the way. Except for that we don't cuss, but you know,
yeah.
I'm really tired of like, did you see that in San Antonio some cop beat someone up and shot them for, you know, jaywalking? It's like, that's horrible stuff, but there's already like 50 other people out there covering it. We don't need to. The world isn't going to suffer if we don't cover it. I'd rather hear about, you know, Derek J's new parasol or how we're going to get him a radio show on syndicated radio or his new, you know, if he's got a gun yet. I don't really care that much about the court case. I just want to know what kind of gun you have and what kind of like holster you're going to get to accessorize.
I want
to
get a Glock 26. Everyone tells me the 27 because you can get like you can use multiple calibers in the same gun. But I don't know. Everyone has like different opinions on what kind of gun to get, but those I hear are super reliable, and I wouldn't ever want to use it except for at the range and like, you know, life or death. So
is that a baby? It's a like a tiny 9mm.
It's the
Glock.
Baby Glock. Yeah, it's one. You know, it's
have
really
you held
cool.
one?
No.
Have you held one?
No.
I need to go.
I'm going to go to a range and try out a bunch of guns before I decide, because you know it's
probably the way to do it.
It's an important.
That's what I always
decision.
Recommend.
Yeah, I gotta hold it. I gotta fire it. I gotta know. I mean, it's worth the $20, $100, whatever it costs to try out a bunch of different guns before settling on one.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
Just go out.
Yeah, I mean,
willy-nilly.
Like I probably only fired 6 guns in my life, but of them, I have a favorite, and if I had to pick one, it'd be that one.
Right, and how good it choosing that one would you be if you just had to go out randomly to stores
and just pick them up?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like walk in and I'd say, yeah, I'm an idiot. What's a good starter kit?
Well, we have the Liberator, sir.
If either of you lived near me, my life is basically that gun range.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's cool.
But yeah, I don't want to say on radio how many guns I have, but I have enough guns that you could try a bunch of different types of guns with me out in,
Sounds like a plan.
Out to like state land. We go out to state land here. One of the differences between Wyoming and New Hampshire, and I'm not making a case for people to move here. I don't think anyone should move. I think everyone should leave. So I have the whole place to myself, but, it's pretty easy to be able to become a rifleman here because, I mean, you don't have a lot of like 1700 meter ranges there, do you?
No.
Yeah. It doesn't exist. There's not enough room for that there, but
what's right there in the name.
I mean, here you don't even need that. You just go out on state land, you know, you just go out to state land and, you know, in any direction you can shoot.
God, talk about a failed theme park, state land.
I love it. That's great.
That's where lawyers go for fun.
That's where statists go for fun. Yeah.
Hey, there was this weird letter that I read. Did you guys hear about Kanye West making fun of the kids at his concert who couldn't stand up?
That's horrible.
Yeah.
Well,
so like he was
because like, they're in wheelchairs or something.
Yeah, exactly. They were in wheelchairs, and a bunch of people got this on video, even though he denies it. And he was saying like, "Everybody stand up!" Like, you know, saying trying to get people up and moving or something. And these like dedicated fans who apparently had, you know, good enough tickets to be visible to Kanye. He was like provoking them, trying to be like, come on, stand up. Like, and then he didn't believe them when they were like, we're disabled. Like, we can't stand. Oh, and he got security to go check to see if they were actually disabled.
Security, please escort liars out of the concert. If you will not stand for the band, then you must leave.
That kind of sounds like, it kind of reminds me of being so out of touch, you know, like Let Them Eat Cake, or, you know, like when George Bush the first had no idea how much a loaf of bread cost. It just sounded like, I don't know any people in wheelchairs. That's not possible.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Antiwar, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Yeah.
Meow.
Yeah, that one's a harder one to sing to.
Meow, 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 meow.
So, Davi, I mean,
yes.
The other guy.
Derek J.
Yeah. Welcome to episode 499 of The Fiends. Maybe we'll make it to 500. So, you're going to talk about celebrities who beat up people in wheelchairs verbally?
Yes. So we mentioned when we last left off that Kanye West had embarrassed some of his fans in wheelchairs. And when a young boy in a wheelchair heard about the incident with Kanye West harassing fans, he wrote an open letter to Kanye. Here it is. To the esteemed Kanye West, I wanted to sincerely thank you from the bottom of my heart for the strength and character you showed at your concert in Sydney. You are a consummate performer who just needed to put those lazy, unappreciative fans in their place. You are an intelligent man, so you obviously deserved to ask them for proof of their alleged disability. I mean, who wouldn't call a security detail on the delinquent concertgoers to verify their disability status? As for you and your wife, as you and your wife attest, this is just a catastrophe created by the media. They've pretty much outlined exactly what happened verbatim and truthfully portrayed your pompous attitude in all its glory, but I know they somehow made all this up. Your unabashed offensiveness victimized two people, but clearly, you are the victim in all of this. Like you said, you're just a target. You did nothing wrong. There is no video that clearly shows you totally humiliating and patronizing two of your loyal fans, while a whole entire stadium laughs at and taunts them. Oh, wait. There are numerous videos that show exactly that. In fact, media outlets like E! News and MTV News have euphemistically portrayed this as an awkward moment or a misunderstanding. So wait.
I mean, maybe it started that way, you know, like, but you know, you escalate when you call security.
I got to interject too of, before you, are you done with the letter or is there more?
There's that's about halfway.
Okay. I have to interject too. The disabled people, the differently abled people in wheelchairs aside, what kind of Stalinistic crap is it saying you're not standing when I command you to with my dope beats? Guards, seize them. Check them out. That's insane.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, I don't know what he was thinking.
I guess it's a social contract. You buy a Kanye ticket, you let him top you, man, and you do what he tells you to.
I mean, so, that would be like being a member of a live studio audience and not clapping when the neon sign says applause.
Well,
I don't know. Those people are live studio audiences are usually paid or at least don't have to.
No
pay.
Way. But yeah, yeah. They're don't
pre-recorded.
Have to pay. It's usually like free and stuff. Paid?
I know people in LA whose part-time job, and they had a lot of work doing this, it was usually for infomercials, but being a paid audience.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Or like, I've been in live studio audiences and I wasn't paid.
Or what about a laugh track? Those people, do they record those at live studio audiences?
They recorded them like 20, 30 years ago, those people.
Yeah, you can hear the same laugh in some of them.
Yeah, yeah, like, through different shows.
Yeah, that's from, I heard that in Sanford and Son, man.
So I want to wrap up this letter here. He says, I'm not buying it, basically. Let me try another angle. And what I like about this letter is that this is a way of taking justice. You know, this is 21st century justice, bringing it to the internet, making it public, rubbing Kanye's nose in what he did, and then telling him how to make it right. So this is where he tells him what to do to make it right. He says, let me try another angle. When those two fans refused to stand up for one of your earth-shattering, mind-blowing performances, they gave up their human right to be treated with respect. Who cares if they couldn't physically stand? I mean, you did show in your attitude and the fans' reactions in the video that the people in wheelchairs get special parking in S are definitely things to laugh and joke about. Yes, you singled out and publicly shamed those two people in front of the entire world based on their outward appearance. You probably discriminated against those people more than you've ever been discriminated against in your life. But who cares, right? If it was discrimination based on race or ethnicity, you would definitely apologize. But do you care about the feelings of over 3 million Americans in wheelchairs whose hearts hurt after seeing that video? No. And then he ends it, I expect a generous donation to the disability charity of your choice will be expected at your earliest convenience. Apologize. You don't like that ending?
No.
Let's talk about that.
I think people should just stop buying his records.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Ross Ulbricht was arrested by the FBI in 2013 and charged with victimless crimes in relation to allegedly operating the Bitcoin-based Silk Road black market. He has been in a prison cell awaiting trial ever since. If he did it, he's a hero for making the black market a safer place. If he did not, he's a man wrongfully accused. Either way, if you love freedom and want to end the war on drugs, Ross and his family need your support. You can learn more and help fund his defense at FreeRoss.org. That's FreeRoss.org.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF. Because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
What, I start singing and you stop, Derek?
Yeah, I like your singing.
No, I think we should try harmonizing a bit at some point. Although you know that it's offbeat when it gets to the radio listeners because
there's a
delay. Yeah, we should. It sounds
harmonizing
okay.
Kind of, through latency.
It sounds like a round.
We'll get it.
No, it sounds like a round.
Think row,
so go on. Go on with your discussion of why you think this social contract in that letter is good.
Yeah, it's the last line, right? It's the, I expect you to make a donation now as an apology.
He expects an apology and a generous donation. I think they're two separate things. They're separated by a period. So,
okay. Let me ask you this. Is the guy who wrote this letter in a wheelchair and or was he at that concert?
He was not at the concert, but is in a wheelchair.
Okay. Then he has some right to do that. I don't know. I guess really...
he's got the right to expect whatever he wants.
Yeah,
it's not a demand exactly. So
it is. It is a demand because he. I mean, it's not like a threat or anything. But
he said, "I will expect you."
He says, "A generous donation." Well, it's passive voice. A generous donation to the disability charity of your choice will be expected at your earliest convenience. The end. It's not that strongly worded. I think it's kind of nice. Kanye, it's a suggestion of how he can save face here. It's not like an order.
It's almost like PR advice.
Yeah, it's like you've really stepped in it. Here's some help.
Definitely PR advice. It's definitely, I will spend my entire life in this wheelchair trying to make people not give you money if you don't do this little thing. And it's pretty common. We talked the other night about how Charter Internet, my internet provider, or the one that I am stuck with for the moment, when there was a hurricane in Alabama, they sent letters to everyone in the hurricane area demanding that they go out and search in the rubble for their cable boxes or pay for them.
No way.
Yeah, and it ended up being very bad for business. They would have spent less money if they just quietly paid for the lost cable boxes because it turned into such a clusterfuck of PR that they ended up having to donate a bunch of money to the Red Cross, donate a bunch of money to a bunch of other, advocacy and recovery groups. And, you know, it's that kind of thing of just seeming out of touch with people. And I think that more and more people are out of touch with, you know, it's kind of weird because it's like it's an era where billionaires and multi-millionaires and rich, powerful, and famous people, you can actually tweet to them and they can see it. And I think that they kind of like it when it helps push their record, but they also don't like you having that power. You know, if somebody started a don't buy Kanye's record hashtag and it went viral, he'd be really upset with it. But he probably really likes, you know, the immediacy of the media when it works in his favor.
Well, I mean, it's funny because being present on Twitter is now sort of part of people's like effort at publicity, but at the same time, you don't get to choose what goes viral. So you say like one stupid thing on Twitter, and next thing you know, that's what you're known for the next couple months. Especially if you take it down, because then you got the Streisand effect going on. People will have screenshotted it already. So
Did you guys see that thing that went viral today of the woman in Alaska quitting the mainstream news on the news?
Yeah, that was pretty remarkable.
And dropping an F-bomb.
I did not see that, but that sounds fascinating.
Yeah, it was a lady in Alaska who had some ownership in a marijuana dispensary, and I don't know the full story. It sounded from what she said something like, you know, her bosses at the mainstream news outlet told her they didn't want her doing that, and she quit on live air and said, well, I got to say this, F it, I'm out of here. But she said the word, she didn't say F it. On broadcast, you know, TV, on one of the three-letter mainstream news channels. And it got 3 million views today. I don't know what it's up to now, but it's pretty amazing.
That's either blacklisted her from mainstream media, or it's a bullet point on an alternative media resume.
Yeah.
Hopefully the latter. Either. Do you think it's also advancing, you know, the idea that marijuana legalization is like relevant and like regular people, like news people, even care about this stuff enough to quit their jobs over it?
Maybe. I mean, I could also see it, some really square marijuana advocates saying, well, it just makes it look like marijuana advocates are all rude, but
please,
I don't really care. I saw some, there were some comments on it of like, you know, it's entertaining that she did this, but she damaged, you know, a business by doing this. But I kind of think that's between her and the business, because I've seen the contracts that those people have to sign, because I actually helped Nima Vedati get out of his.
Whoa.
Just blow up and swear on the air? He actually put in 2 weeks or something?
He actually,
that'd be a fun video if it existed.
He actually got a lawyer and got out of it. Yeah, he can't say that.
Wow. Is it like bondage or something? You're enslaved to your network?
Kind of, because, I mean, I can kind of see why they would have a contract like that, and you are signing it voluntarily, because to take on a new anchor person and train them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you have to work there a while before they get their money's worth for it.
Yeah.
Groovy. I mean, they, you know, they do like bus ads on the side of buses with your face on them and billboards. I mean, Nima's face used to be on billboards in my town. It was kind of weird. I never really talked about that, but
did it make you smile to be like, hey, that's my friend?
What really made me smile, it was weird, was we used to watch him do the news, and then about 20 minutes later, he'd show up at our house to work on the Guns and Weed movie. So it's like, wait, you're on the TV, is in my living room. I don't get it, you know?
My wife's face ended up on a billboard in San Francisco at one point. That was pretty cool.
Accidentally?
No, it was intentional. It was a crowdfunding thing. It was essentially, there were these like anti-Muslim groups that were trying to stew animosity between Muslims and gays by saying that Muslims were against gay marriage. And so my wife and some other activists got together and said, yeah, San Francisco just rejects all hate.
Awesome.
And, so it was like a solidarity between not just Muslims and gays, but anybody who felt like they wanted to reject this sort of rhetoric. And her face was on that billboard.
You know, awesome. It is. We were talking before the show about getting Derek J his own radio show on syndicated radio. I was talking with the engineer there. I'm not going to say his name on air. If he wants to pigeon me and say it, he wants to tell me it's okay to say it, I'll say it. But we were talking about him and I and Ian Freeman all talking to GCN about getting Derek a show. And I was wondering about him, like, well, you know, mainstream media, commercial talk radio is my first thought was like, is Derek too gay for it? And the engineer was like, well, we have a gay host. This guy Carell does the Carell show. And I'm like, yeah, but he's a total liberal lefty gun grabber. You know, do you think that there's a market for the gay gun guy? And then the engineer told me that somebody actually was calling GCN, some stations were calling to see if they had a pot show, a marijuana show. And I was like, I've never heard of a marijuana show on radio. Is it?
I think Garrick is just gay enough, like just the right amount.
He's just gay enough. He's just gun friendly enough, and he's just ganja friendly enough that there's got to be a niche out there for that somewhere.
We'll build one.
I feel like it's more of an internet niche though than a radio niche, because radio is literally broadcasting and affects everybody. Whereas internet, you kind of pick your channel. But I'd love to see it. I'd love to help do whatever I can to make that happen. But, if you want to do it.
Well, as this anchor who just recently quit is proving, ganja is relevant to everyone. That's something to be broadcast. Maybe they do need a ganja show. I think it's important. Especially
the relevance.
I was arrested for ganja.
The relevance there is that she had to quit mainstream media because of it.
Right. Well, that's
I don't know. I like it. I like the idea that there are people out there that challenge people because they want to agree with them on some issues and they can't agree with them on other issues, and they sort of have to weigh their priorities as far as who they're listening to. So if you had somebody on the sort of, I mean, I hate to say conservative for Derek, but if you had somebody who was on AM radio and appealed to the conservative listener, they would have to immediately rethink everything that they assume or stereotype gay people to be.
Ooh.
Yeah, the board op just pigeoned me and said it was Kyle. We could say it was Kyle. So Kyle and I, and I'm sure Ian Freeman, your roommate, mentor, and are you his pet? No, what's your relationship with him?
He is my friend and and roommate.
Landlord?
Yeah, he is also my landlord, yes. But that's like, that's in the back of my head. I never really think about that as primary. I feel like we're friends, and we live together here in this studio, which is LRN Studio, where he broadcasts Free Talk Live.
You know, I'm starting to feel like Ian Freeman is the only celebritarian I can still stand by 100%.
Yeah, he is a principled man. He's taken some hard stances.
Of all the libertarians, you know, I mean, I can stand by all the Fiends and I can stand by Ben Quaker, but they're not really celebritarians. We're more like the garage bands, and I'm talking about the rock stars. And Ian's kind of in probably the low tier of the rock stars that include like Jeffrey Tucker, Stefan Molyneux. I'm not going to name them all because I'm about to say what I don't like about all of them. I kind of feel like Ian is the only one of the like banner name, marquee name libertarians that I can still just stand by 100%.
Well, it takes a lot of courage. His actions, you know, what they say about choices, the thing about choices is after you make them, they turn around and make you. Well, like, Ian has made some amazing choices. Like, he just a week ago was in court defending himself over two accusations that could land him 2 years in jail. And here he keeps doing his radio show. He keeps doing everything for everyone else every day. Everything keeps chugging along because this is just, you know, a matter of course. This is just a part of the way he's chosen to live. And it's so courageous. So few people are willing to do that. It's one of the things that I admire about him.
Yeah.
Say that again, that you make your choices and then your choices make you. I think that's a great phrase.
Yeah, well, that's how it is. So, the expression, I used to have it hanging in my room because I thought it was so important to remember, because you're constantly making thousands of choices every day. So, the expression is, the thing about choices is, after you make them, they turn around and make you.
Yeah, and I mean, some of them end up with, you know, a guy in a wheelchair writing you an angry letter. I'm so glad the internet didn't exist until when it did, because there's a lot of embarrassing stuff about me that's not out there because the internet wasn't up. Video, it did not happen because there's no video.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Hey, there's some Squisklar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech is hate speech, guns and weed, buy sheep for sheep on sheep, and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists. It's only $10 for 5 buttons, including shipping. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
With me are my fellow gays.
I'm not gay. As long as there's women around, if there's women around, I'm not gay.
Unless you're stranded on a desert island with some attractive men.
Who would be my desert island man? I think it'd be Davi.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I wouldn't.
I don't know. This got awkward.
I'm just talking about as a conversationalist.
You've never been to jail, have you?
No.
Hey, hi, little boy. You ever been in a Turkish prison?
You know, why is that a joke about jail? Like, why? That is a joke tells me that most people know that rape is something that happens in American jails. And that somehow that's funny.
It's funny, though.
Or that that's uncomfortable enough for people to give an uncomfortable laugh.
I don't think that it generally happens in American jails. I think it happens in American prisons.
Oh, okay. And the distinction is prisons are a place where you stay longer.
Generally, jail is up to a year. Prison is more than a year. There's exceptions, but that's the rough thing. Like, basically, jail is jail is misdemeanor, prison is felony. I mean, there are exceptions, or generally, jail is waiting to go to prison.
I think it's a joke for people who think that a person is somehow deserving of punishment if they're in prison.
Yeah,
like, I don't particularly find this stuff funny.
It's part of the social contract. It's part of the horizontal enforcement of people being able to commit aggression by proxy of, like, if you're going to jail, don't drop the soap, you pothead, you know, that kind of stuff. There was actually a poster that was made when Bush was governor of Texas, and he'd passed some law in Texas that increased, with the help of the NRA, that increased the penalty for non-crimes and real crimes if you got caught also having a gun. Like, if you had a pound of pot, but you also had a gun, the sentence was much bigger than if you just had one or the other and added them up, you know, as an enhancement. And the NRA was totally into this, because the NRA has this concept of, oh, we're legal, legitimate, licensed gun owners, and those other people aren't. And so to try to look more palatable to square people, and even Democrats that hate guns, they try to differentiate themselves from criminal gun users, which are, you know, which could just be, you know, a peace loving guy that grows pot for his friends with cancer, but has a gun to protect his family. Like, they, you know, Bush and the NRA want that guy in prison. So they had a poster that said, like, you know, do the crime and have a gun, you'll do this. And it was like a picture of soap dropped in a shower. Like, wow. Basically saying, if you do nanny crimes and you have a gun, we're going to rape you. That's what the poster was saying. And they were hanging all over Texas when Bush was governor.
You know, what's so weird to me is the NRA members that I've seen, most of them are geriatrics, and they take lots of pills, you know, lots of medicines. Cannabis is a medicine for lots of people. So would the NRA take the same stance if, you know, we're like, these people use, I don't know, chemotherapy. Chemotherapy. Yeah, I can't think of a medicine.
I knew you couldn't stop talking about tyranny, Derek. You were a poser saying you just wanted to talk about other stuff.
Uh-huh. You're right. Yep. Now I feel square because I'm talking about liberty.
talking about?
We started with rape cages. I don't think it's that much of a leap to geriatric NRA members.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that all members of the NRA are geriatric. I was a member of the NRA 5 years ago.
I was hip.
I was hip. I was 45. Do you consider that geriatric? But I probably was on the young edge of a lot of what NRA members are. So.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. We could come back, talk about it for an hour after this trip to the markets. This is a long outro, so if you want to give a little speech here, either of you guys, you can.
We should have a contest. Come up with a topic that doesn't have tyranny attached to it. I'm having trouble. Seems cats. Like it's everywhere.
Yeah, cats. Everything comes. I mean, if we talked about my internet problems, I'd start blaming the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to think about connecting cats to tyranny.
Cats are little tyrants, man.
And they get chipped. Register your cat.
They'll eat you, too. They will eat you if you die in your house.
They're just waiting for you to stop moving.
They are. You are meat, and they like meat, man.
Worms.
Worms.
Shiny badges on your jacket. Shiny badges. Yeah!
This is Davi Barker from shinybadges.com, and I just want to personally apologize for airing a jingle week after week, month after month, that turned out to be such an infectious brain worm. So to make it up to you, I'm offering a free gift. The next time you make a purchase at shinybadges.com, write WORMS in the transaction comments, and I'll send you something weird.
Worms, 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 worms,
worms,
worms,
worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms, worms,
yes, this is Gays, Guns, and Ganja. Welcome back to the program. With me are my fellow guns.
This is
Top Gun.
We're Guns and
Freedom Fiends.
Derek's going to start a show called Gays, Guns, and Ganja. Because there's a niche for that. Do you know about the Pink Pistols, Derek?
Yeah, it's a group of gays who go shooting together, right?
Yeah, in San... Well...
They're everywhere. There are chapters everywhere.
Yeah, that's right. I was going to say, I think they started in San Francisco.
Probably did.
Yeah, and their motto is, armed gays don't get bashed. I like that, and it's pretty hardcore.
Wow.
It's a lesson for the kids.
Yep. So, speaking of California, something I noticed a long time ago when I lived in L.A. is that Hollywood has... the most handsome male bums in America.
The most handsome male bums? How are the female bums?
Not nearly as handsome. yeah, homelessness is not kind to women.
You think it's kind to men? Is it like less, some men age well, other men
I think that's
street
true.
Well?
Maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I think drugs and alcohol ravish women more. And I don't know. I don't really want to go into the socioeconomics of why the women don't age as well on the street in Hollywood. And
it might just be that there are not as many opportunities for out of work male actors.
I think that that's it. I think that people go to L.A. to make, you know, handsome people, good looking people go to L.A. to make it as movie stars. And they don't all end up movie stars, and they end up homeless. And this was first pointed out to me. I guess I'd noticed it, but hadn't really thought about it. But when I lived there, starting in 2001, when I moved there from San Francisco, this woman I was hanging out with, this photographer, had the idea to make a calendar of the handsome male bums of Hollywood.
What? You know,
a different bum for every month, and do a new one every year.
Were they attractive? And
I mean, not to me, but
I mean, I guess here's the question: do you dress them up like a regular calendar, or is it like pictures of them in their natural environment?
It's going to be them in their natural habitat. It just seemed I ended up not having anything to do with it because it seemed really exploitive. But this girl was a very convincing talker, and I kind of had a crush on her, and I was really broke, so I was like, well, if we can make some money on this, like, I actually like went through the discussion phase of it with her and then just decided I don't want to do that, man. But you know, her plan was to give him $20 and a bottle of booze and have him sign a release form right there on the street and then photograph them looking, you know, dashing and statuesque in front of their shopping carts.
Would she do anything to make them look a little better, like comb their hair or, you know, help them brush their teeth or something?
She probably would have, knowing her, but not for any sense of social outreach, but more just because it would make a...
For the picture. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what would make that project cool? I think as you've described, it doesn't sound like a very cool thing, but what would be cool is if it was like a way of getting them discovered. If it was like here's what they look like on the street, and here's their portrait, and here's like a questionnaire about their personality, and maybe you want them as an extra. Here's their phone number or something.
Homeless makeover. Yeah, I mean, maybe if you.
So it's like a calendar booking agent.
Yeah, like let's say you gave them a pager and had them listed with a homeless.
Well, they probably have a cell phone.
They probably do. Oh no,
homeless people in California have cell phones. I don't know about other states, but I definitely see homeless people with cell phones.
Yeah, same in Philly. But the problem with homelessness isn't usually that they can't find jobs, is it? It's usually like a mental thing, right?
Well, so, it's not ever one thing, right? But it is often that they don't have a permanent address, which makes certain things difficult. It means it's difficult to prepare for an interview if you don't have access to clean clothes and clean shower and things like that. But yeah, often there's a mental hurdle.
Yeah, but they don't just like suddenly end up on the street. They're not just like, you know, they don't just appear on Earth like on the street. So, you know, they got there somehow. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and Davi's speaking from experience because he does outreach with homeless people, and
I've been homeless.
I've been homeless too. Yeah,
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I was for homeless. Me, it was totally a mental thing. I chose to be homeless. So
okay,
and then one day I chose not to be.
I guess it was with me too. I left home like right after my 19th birthday, like the week I graduated college, 2-year college. Didn't graduate. The week I finished, I moved to DC to seek my fortune, just basically because I wanted to get out of the tiny town that I grew up in my whole life. I was like, there's nothing happening here, man. I want to play music. I want to meet people. I want to do things. And I moved to DC and was homeless for about 4 months and actually got myself out of it. I got a job working at a restaurant that still exists in DC called Naturally Yours. It's a health food restaurant.
Was it winter or summer when you were homeless in DC?
It was spring and summer, and I worked it out. So by the time it was late fall, early winter, and snowing and cold, I had a place. But nice. I was homeless and working a job, and I was sleeping in an abandoned factory. And I had an alarm clock, and I had to wear a tie. And I would get up and, like, literally on the way to work, I would tie my tie in the rear view window of a car on the street.
Where did you get clean?
Where did I get clean?
Yeah.
Where did you shower?
Oh, I thought you meant where did I get off drugs and alcohol?
Oh, yeah, no, different phraseology. I meant, like, where did you wash up?
Sometimes took a shower at friends' houses, but also like, you know, in the mop washing sink of the health food restaurant, you know, just kind of took a cat bath. Like after everybody left, I would,
wait at the place that you worked.
Yeah. Just strip down to my underwear and take some paper towels and some soap and kind of take a little, you know, cat bath.
Wow.
It's interesting.
Don't cry for me. Derek's don't think he's going to cry. Don't cry for me.
No.
I chose this.
It's reminding me. Sometimes you called it a cat bath. They call it a bird bath in jail because you don't always have an opportunity to use the showers.
Bird bath. I like that.
Yeah.
Well, they call it a whore bath, but that's not really radio friendly. And the clean version of whore bath is cat friendly. cat friendly. Cat bath. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like how cats bathe, too. I mean, cats are constantly licking their fist and rubbing their head with it and cleaning themselves.
Isn't that essentially what a sponge bath is?
My cat's doing that right now.
He's having a cat bath?
He's licking his arms, yeah.
So do
I wasn't working. I spent...
Oh, sorry. What's that, Davi?
I said I wasn't working at the time. I spent the time to sort of like hang out on the street and write and do art and try and sell stuff.
Was it winter or summer?
It was California.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember. It was warm.
It was Santa Cruz. There was a beach. LA is not a bad place to be homeless if you're going to be homeless, because pretty much most nights of the year you won't die sleeping out from the weather. And San Francisco can get pretty cool.
You can bathe in the water, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy in any sort of beach town in California because you can go out in the ocean, which is sort of like you come out of that all salty, but most beaches also have running showers.
Yeah.
So that makes it pretty easy.
That's what I would be most concerned about. I need a shower every day, and being homeless would be a real bummer. Because there is not a shower outside.
You know, people gravitate toward the places where those services exist. Like, if you were suddenly, like, lost your place and you were homeless in, like, Chicago and you were about to freeze to death, you might migrate to California.
Yeah.
And so it may be that the attractive bums migrate to Hollywood because they think they might be discovered there. It's possible.
I was on food stamps for about a month and a half in San Francisco. And then pulled myself out of it. And in San Francisco, when you go to get food stamps or welfare or any kind of social services like that, one of the things that they offered at the time, and I think they've stopped doing this because I think it's been ruled illegal or it's just really bad PR with other cities, is they would offer you, before they would give you welfare, they'd say, well, if there's anywhere you want to go where you have family or anything like that, we'll buy you a one-way bus ticket and give you $5 a day for food for the bus trip.
Hmm, that's
like
generous.
Basically, yeah. And I think there was some town somewhere like in the South that was doing that to San Francisco. Like,
yeah, I've heard this story.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, that's fine. If that's how they want to deal with it, let San Francisco, you know, open doors, right?
You know what the nickname back then in San Francisco for the welfare department was among people on welfare?
What?
No.
The Bank of Hell. It was actually like written in the wet concrete that had dried in front of the welfare office, like on the sidewalk. It said Bank of Hell with an arrow pointing to it.
Here, is that like because they felt their life was hell or because they felt the bank was hell?
Probably a little of both. Yeah, it's not, and this is something you rarely have on conservative talk radio, is someone talking about their experiences on food stamps, but it's not very fun and it's not very easy to be on it. It's probably easier in San Francisco than other places, but it's picture like the worst DMV experience you've ever had times five with a lot of more mental illness around you.
Yeah, for sure. It does seem like there is often like a mental problem. I don't know why that is, but I mean, I've definitely observed that. And there's also, this is sort of like why I say this. It's not one thing. It's never one thing. And very few things are ever one thing. Like you have people who are sort of voluntarily homeless, who live on the street because it's a lifestyle choice. And then you have other people who are like, they've fallen through the cracks of society and they can't fend for themselves. And they actually need help and they can't get it. So, I mean, it's never the same thing. It's never one thing.
It's kind of interesting of what the perception is of people who are homeless or on welfare, because it used to be a thing where like people from the heartland, you know, who'd probably vote Republican, who believe in work and, you know, Judeo-Christian morals or whatever, really often really looked down on people that are homeless. But the economy is so messed up that those people usually know someone on welfare if they're not themselves on welfare or food stamps. Isn't it something like 1/6 of the country on food stamps now?
Yeah, I don't know the details, but I know that there are way more people now that live paycheck to paycheck, and they are essentially one paycheck away from losing their mortgage or their apartment or whatever. So
this is the first time in my life that I haven't been one or two paychecks away from the street past couple of years, probably.
Yeah, but people feel it, you know. Worms.
Worms.
Worms. Worms are good food if you can't find any.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts. You've heard of shinybadges.com, but check out the new Causes tab. Every item includes a donation to a worthwhile Liberty project. Buy the Silk Road pin to contribute to the Ross Ulbricht Legal Defense Fund, or buy the Bitcoin Not Bombs t-shirt to contribute to Hoodie the Homeless 2014. Pick from many more. Go to causes.shinybadges.com and get yourself some quality Liberty products that not only start a conversation, but also put your money where your heart is. Plus, get a free gift when you pay with Bitcoin. Causes.shinybadges.com.
Welcome to the Animal Farm.
Welcome to Stateland.
I want to keep talking about this ballot thing. Can we set this up? Because I think it's really interesting.
Sure. Yeah, sure. So I was sharing with Davi while we were away that in New Hampshire, it is the law that you are not allowed to take a photograph of your ballot and post it to social media. It's a new law. What? Just happened this year.
Why? Is it the thing of like it's supposed to be a secret ballot and they're actually enforcing that?
I don't know.
That was my best guess.
So we're trying to speculate.
The thing was, that wasn't it was kind of like AA, you know, like it's okay to tell a friend you're in AA, but you're not supposed to shout it from the rooftops. And you're definitely not supposed to like break someone else's anonymity. My understanding of the secret ballot thing is because in countries that were more tyrannical than America, it was not a secret ballot, and it would make it easier to intimidate people for voting the way someone else didn't want them to. I never thought of it as something that you couldn't choose to share. I thought it was something that have to share.
There's no way you can prevent a person from walking right out of the ballot and saying to their neighbor, "Hey, I voted for so and so." Like, this is the funny thing about this law. I'm like, what could possibly be the motive for this law?
Well, there's always plausible deniability if you tell your friend who you voted for. But if you're taking a selfie of your ballot and then turning that in, well, that should be some kind of proof that you
see, really I did. Love this. I pulled up an article on Boston.com. It says voting booth ballot selfies are actually legal in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. And the photograph in the article is a person taking a selfie with their ballot.
There's a lawyer here in Manchester, New Hampshire, who's trying to take this on. He thinks it's important enough. And I think that's kind of silly because I accidentally broke this law. I shared that with Davi during the break. I don't mind sharing that here. But I went and recorded myself as I went and voted because I record everything I do in life. And Yeah. And I went and voted. So I recorded that too, and it's only the second time I've voted in my life, so it was kind of interesting, and I wanted to record the process. I took a selfie.
Did you vote for Ian?
Yes, I did vote for Ian, my friend. He was running for governor against this person, Maggie Hassan, who made it illegal to photograph my ballot. So I guess that even adds a new interesting twist to the conflict of interest here. But accidentally, I committed felonies by recording that video.
It's a felony?
This is not a felony. If I had taken a photograph, it would just be a misdemeanor, punishable by a fine of up to $1,000 and possibly some jail time. But my crimes are felonies because I recorded audio and video as I went through. So, you know, people's voices can be heard and they didn't consent to that. And according to New Hampshire laws, that is felony wiretapping. As crazy as that might sound.
I've got the reason.
What is it?
The ballot selfie ban isn't a statement on the dubious quality of those photographs, but as a way to stop people from selling their ballot by not allowing voters a way to prove who they voted for with a picture.
Wow.
Which is silly because that has nothing to do with social media. If I needed to prove to you who I voted for because you're paying me to vote a certain way, I would take a picture and I would never share it with anybody because I would be documenting a crime and I would only show it to you. I wouldn't post it on Twitter and Facebook.
And you would also fake the picture if you wanted to get paid for for it. You could just, too, you know, yeah. take all yeah. the offers. Like, oh, who do you want me to vote for? Yes, I'll do it. Who do you want me to vote for? Yes, I'll do it. And then just take lots of ballots and take lots of selfies.
So here we go. Government failing to solve a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah, and meanwhile, creating a law that I trip over accidentally. This isn't even something I've wanted to do.
You can't help but break laws.
It's against the law. Yeah.
Do you know that book? Three felonies a day.
Yeah, this is one of them.
Well, have you ever read it?
No.
No, I haven't. I'm familiar with the concept. I've read articles by the author.
It's referenced a lot, and I've yet to meet anyone who's read it. And I actually was going to buy it just because I wanted to know what some of the three felonies a day were. And I read reviews of it on Amazon last night, and it's a pretty highly rated book by many reviewers, but again and again and again, over and over and over, the reviews say, this book doesn't tell you what any of the three felonies might be. I was like, that's kind of bait and switch with the title, you know?
Yeah, that's not fair.
I mean, they could have taken a half page out of a 300-page book. And
here's a list of felonies.
That people commit without knowing it, yeah. It's also the foreword's written by Dershowitz, who's a total, like, wants-to-repeal-the-Second-Amendment attorney. And he wants to repeal it rather than just chip away at it, because he said if they just chip away at it, it'll be used to take away other rights.
Worms.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com. Hi, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. The internet has lowered the cost barrier for a worldwide radio show to a price approaching zero. Yet there is one arena where you still need thousands of dollars to approach the audio quality of the corporate media. Doing a live spoken show with more than one host in different geographic locations. Our program, Fiend Phone, will solve that problem, and it will be given away free. Go to fiendphone.com to see what you can do to help. That's FEENPHONE.com.
Worms.
Worms, worms, worms. Meow, meow. Meow, meow.
Meow,
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 meow.
Yes.
Meow.
Meow. Meow. Meow. Do you have a cat there? You guys have a dog, but do you have a cat?
No, unfortunately.
Pussy. Oops. I'm sorry.
We're talking about cats. Totally in conformity with community standards.
Okay. Community. Yeah.
I got my cat. He can't decide whether or not he wants to sit on my lap or not. He keeps like trying to, like, he noses up. He's like, let me get in your lap. Let me get in your lap. And then as soon as I let him in my lap, he's like, I'm bored. I'm going to run around in the apartment for a while.
So NSA warnings on rock records. Is this a thing, or is this just that we think it's going to happen someday?
It should be a thing.
Yeah.
What?
I want to know whether or not the music my children are listening to is a threat to national security. I think as a parent, I have a right to know, although I'm not a parent. But, you know, if I were.
I kind of like that you're not a parent. That's another place I agree with Doug Stanhope is children are horrible.
Whoa. Children are horrible if you raise them horribly. What if you're awesome to your kids? And what if they're awesome?
I don't know. I'm sure Stefan Molyneux will take that out of context and say, see, it's proof that these people are horrible. No, he's not addressing anything, which is kind of weird. You know, you'd think, I don't know, we're done with him. All right, let's move on. Doug Stanhope.
I'm not opposed to having children. I just don't happen to have one.
Doug Stanhope has a skit where he's talking about that he has considered registering himself as a sex offender. So he has a reason to give people of why they shouldn't bring kids to his house.
Wow. Does that work?
I don't think you can do that.
I know.
Just hop down to the DMV. Yeah, I scratched out voter and wrote sex offender. Can you file this paperwork for me?
Yeah, I don't know. He's a weird guy. I'm not opposed to children for other people. I don't want to have to look at pictures of people's kids. What I really don't like doing is the social pressure to say congratulations when someone tells you they're going to have a kid.
Why? That's a huge moment in a person's life. It's life-changing. Of course, congratulations.
I don't know, man. It's a basic human function that billions of people have had throughout history.
Do you hate life?
I'm not as big of a fan of it as you apparently are.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of life, and children are the way that life keeps happening. So
I want to talk about why you film everything. I think that's interesting.
Wait a minute. Do you believe in congratulating anybody for anything? Because everything everybody does is something thousands of people have done.
I don't know. Getting signed to a major label. Getting a book
thousands
deal.
Of people have done that.
Yeah, thousands, not billions. Okay. I don't know.
Not just, every it's, other it's, human ever.
It's not that hard to do. And I could see like when someone's kid is 18 and they haven't killed themselves or horribly embarrassed their parents yet, then I might congratulate them. I think raising them is the task.
The social pressure I think that needs to go out the window is people who like harass married couples about when they're going to have kids. I think that's really kind of uncool.
Yeah.
Because it's a private decision, you know, who knows what they're struggling with, you know.
So, I think a lot of kids are born for that reason, which is a really bad reason to have a kid, because your parents want grandkids. That's ridiculous, man.
Yeah. So one thing that peeves me about kids, there aren't many things, but people claim that PDA or public displays of affection are bad because children will see people loving each other in some sort of physically affectionate way.
That's not the kid's fault.
I know. I think that's baloney. It's a bad excuse, but I want there to be more PDA in the world. I want that to be a more socially acceptable thing, which it's not. So, you know, we've still got this Puritan culture. So we could change that by, I don't know. I don't know what to do, but the kids, they're not the problem.
When you say PDA, I know that means public display of affection, but I actually think of like...
The old phones?
Personal, what was... It's a
personal digital assistant.
I think of those too, like the wizard.
Yeah. Hmm. You know what's kind of fun? I don't mean to get off of the topic of how wonderful kids are, like I'm trying to change the subject, but do you ever go on eBay and look at the prices of electronics that you coveted 10 years ago and couldn't afford?
No.
I remember when all I wanted was one of those handsprings, which were like $350 at the time. You could buy them by the pound now on eBay. Like you could buy them for $5 each easily.
I remember when I was a kid saving up my allowance and trying to do everything I could to earn extra money for months just to buy a tape deck that had two tape decks so that I could duplicate audio cassettes. And that was like the coolest thing, to be able to like make my own mixtapes and things like that.
You could buy that at a Salvation Army now for $10.
There's no reason to do that anymore. It's just shuffling tracks in iTunes now.
Yeah, I recently bought a cassette player to digitize some music I made 30 years ago that my sister found in my late mother's attic when she was cleaning out trunks. But yeah,
I discovered recently that the lead singer of a band I used to be in just opened a SoundCloud account. And so like old songs where I was the guitar on the track started popping up on Facebook, and it's sort of cool.
Now, see, if you were Derek's friend if you lived with Derek in his town, you'd be like, I just discovered that Derek opened another YouTube account, and now there's all this video of me brushing my teeth and eating a sandwich in the park.
Yeah. I just follow people around.
I think it's a little, I don't know if creepy is the word, but
it is creepy. I don't know. I will wear that label because if I step into it, then I feel like it has less of an effect. So, yes, it's a little bit creepy for some guy to be holding a camera and pointing it at things as he walks around. But I'm well-dressed, I'm articulate, and I'm polite. So, if you come and talk to me... So it's not as creepy.
It's not creepy?
Yeah, because it's like, okay, if I were wearing a trench coat... Yeah.
Well, like, if I did, I don't dress as well, so I would be creepy if I did it.
You would be creepy. Yeah, exactly. So if I were wearing a trench coat and had a long, scraggly beard, and were concealing my face with some mask somehow, then I'd be extra
I resemble
creepy.
That remark, Dobby says.
Well, Dobby,
I don't think you're creepy. I think you're just ahead of your time. I think within a generation, everybody will be walking around recording everything they do.
Yeah. Well, I agree. I've always wanted those Google Glass before they even existed. You know, I wanted to be able to wear something that would record everything in life, and I still don't have the ability to have those yet, so I hold a camera.
This is why Derek didn't want the 1 terabyte drive I tried to give him. He's like,
because I use 4 terabytes.
1 terabyte? I use that before breakfast.
I do. I use a lot of video.
But you just use like YouTube as your hard drive, right?
No, YouTube is one of my hard drives, but I back up everything myself as well. But YouTube really has made it possible to have this sort of life, the sort of life where everything can be totally public from the instant it happens, you know, right up to the whole world. They can follow the adventures in Keen when a parking enforcer, you know, does something silly. We capture that on camera. Anytime any bureaucrat does something ridiculous, there's a pretty good chance it's going to be captured on camera. Because of all the activists with video cameras here who are willing to use them, use YouTube accounts.
What happened with the guy that attacked you with your camera? Was there a court case out of that?
Yeah, there were two guys who were charged and arrested, and I believe convicted for assault. So, you know, they assaulted me on camera. And
so the system works.
Yeah, they called the police on themselves.
I know.
And then, you know, justice happened, I guess.
Did you have to press charges or?
No, I never did anything. No, I never did anything. They took a statement from me as my camera was on the ground. I never got any sort of compensation. Like, I felt like the only kind of justice that would be meaningful to me is if the guy who broke my camera, like, gave me $1,000 or, like, you know, gave me.
How much was the camera worth, and was it fixable?
The camera was fixable. The battery is damaged, but also fixable. So everything, like, quote-unquote, works. But, my, you know, if I'm reselling this or if I try and use it, it's got noticeable damage now. It's been thrown on the ground. I mean, for goodness sakes, it's a miracle it wasn't completely ruined.
I got to say... yeah, I totally understand the thing of how the justice system rarely makes the victim whole. Like, you know, you probably would have been happier if they'd just given you $100 than if they went to jail, right?
Yeah, I don't want these guys to go to jail. I don't care about that.
Oh, I do.
Wait, you mean you want them to go to jail? That is sort of the way they learn their lesson. I hate to say that.
I'm kind of glad they went to jail.
There need to be consequences for bad actors.
I didn't want them to go to jail, but the fact that they went to jail with no action on your part, and really the fact that they did call the police on themselves is really hilarious to me. I think that's funny, man.
Yeah.
What sentence did they get?
Oh, I don't know. I should follow up on that. I honestly don't know.
You really should follow.
I stopped following it when I got assaulted. I was like, all right, someone else can film these goons now. I'm not going to go.
That's kind of funny. Yeah, like, you will film the most mundane action, but you won't call the police station to find out that the guys who got arrested and convicted for you, like, what their sentence is.
Yeah, it's just not interesting to me.
If nothing else, I think that's kind of lazy reporting, and you're usually a very unlazy reporter. I think you should follow up on that.
Oh, look at you fanning these flames.
It's a personal anecdote.
Yeah, it's just something that I just wanted to put behind me. And
the people want to know, Derek.
The people. They're demanding to know.
People have a right to know.
All right. I'll find out.
You're a public figure, Derek.
Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, what sentence did my assaulters get?
I think you should go visit him in the jail.
That would be awful. Oh, that would be so great.
They'd hunt you down like a dog when they got out if you did that. Maybe.
I'm afraid they already will. I mean, it's, you know, but why wouldn't they?
You think they're in there like doing push-ups and tattooing Bible verses about vengeance into their bodies? Probably not.
I don't know, but they were scary dudes to begin with. I can't imagine jail makes them any friendlier.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why you go and visit them.
Yeah, maybe I could visit them and bury the hatchet. Be like, hey guys, sorry you're in there. I didn't do that.
Yeah. They try to turn them into voluntarists.
This is now we've learned our lesson about calling the police, haven't we?
Never speak to police. Yeah.
Oh. Wow. I mean, yeah, it is an opportunity to sort of get an assessment of how they think about you before they're free.
Is one of them the same guy that was packing the gun and showing it off and brandishing it to people one day there?
No. No, none of them was that person. There's a lot of thugs in Keene.
Yeah, it seems like a lot for a small town. All kinds of stuff going on there.
Worms.
Worms. Worms.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Feather a tax collector. That's the name of that song.
If he deserved it.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I could go there, but I wouldn't do it, but I might go interview him in jail and ask him what it's like.
You know, cartoons have lied to us about tar and feathering. The Warner Brothers cartoons kind of told us it's this funny thing where you like humiliate people by covering them in black muck.
It's torture. It's torture.
It's not just torture. It could kill a person. Tar has to be hot to be liquid.
Yeah.
So it's very dangerous.
It's also poisonous, and it would also block your skin from. Yeah, it ain't.
People
cool.
died from tar and feathering. It wasn't just sort of funny things to do to comical ducks.
Kids, so, don't do it. Don't do it, kids.
Don't do the things you see in cartoons at home. They need a national security warning. What if Saturday morning cartoons had national security warnings? I think that kind of makes sense. Like, well, I was watching Ninja Turtles, and April O'Neil walked into her boss's office, and she threatened him with a nuclear bomb to get out of a job. I don't think you can do that.
Did you say nuclear?
I may have.
It's nuclear.
I don't know.
Only George Bush says nuclear.
That's not true. Ignorant people of all sorts say nuclear.
Okay.
So, yeah, maybe the Ninja Turtles needs an NSA warning on it because you can't do that anymore. Can't do that at home. I mean, there's a sense in which any sort of fiction is going to quickly become completely implausible as the society like closes. Because people are not free to act the way characters have to act to have an entertaining plot anymore.
Well, I'm sure you could not make the movie Fight Club now in Hollywood. I mean, it's basically a bunch of sexy terrorists.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but I'm talking about like regular movies. Like, there's not going to be a Sleepless in Seattle that goes through a DUI checkpoint. But eventually it's going to become unbelievable that a person could drive through Seattle without a DUI checkpoint. You know what I mean? So, like, at some point, art can no longer emulate life and survive as art. And then that point is coming. And when that point comes, we'll have nothing but dystopian science fiction left, which is all right with me because that's my favorite kind of movie.
Let's talk about that for the next 3 minutes. I like dystopian science fiction. Do you like Rollerball?
Rollerball. That sounds really familiar.
It's a 70s movie.
I don't remember it.
It's a 70s movie with a dystopian, not too distant future where the governments of the world have been replaced by like one or two corporations, which kind of sounds
that's
like
always the case.
Could be LibPair, really. It depends how it is. But yeah,
depends on the corporation.
And the blood sport of the day that's replaced all other sports is this corporate financed. It's a combination of like roller derby, steel cage death match, a ball game, and motocross. Like basically, these dudes spin around this roller derby track in on roller skates, and there's this heavy steel ball bearing about the size of a grapefruit that shoots out of a cannon and flies around the edge, and the point is to get it and then put it in a hole, but you're riding motorcycles and it's okay to try to kill people in the game. It kind of,
if you want a fun, like gladiator style movie that you can watch for free on YouTube, you should look up Robot Jocks. The idea is it's this dystopian future where all war has been replaced with gladiator style robot fights. And the two champions are, well, here, get this. The two champions in the movie are the Market and the Confederation. So it's literally like the Market produced this robot and it's a very adept fighter, and the like Russian style Confederation produced this robot and you get to watch them fight.
It's that was really back excellent. When free market wasn't a dirty word.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it was the free market was the opposite of the Russians, whereas now the free market is what, you know, mean Republicans do who don't want their wealth redistributed, or mean libertarians like us.
I just think it was a great insight on the part of the scriptwriter not to call it the Americas or the Western powers, but to call it the Market, because that's what it is. It's the Market versus communism. That's the world we live in.
Yeah. And, but you don't have to go to the Soviets.
Spoiler alert, the Market wins.
You don't have to go to the Soviets for the communism anymore.
In fact, they may have more market than us. Well, it's been a good time. Yeah, man. I think I had a good time.
I had a great time.
Thank you both for your service.
Worms.
Worms. Not contacted by the government.
Worms.
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 Worms.